Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is Hawa and you're listening to Hawa Unscripted. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin was salatu was salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Bismillah. I hope everyone's Ramadan is going good so far. I hope that we are taking advantage of this month and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us steadfast. For this episode, following the theme of the last episode, I wanted to kind of shed light and share stories that allows us to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better and that encompass His characteristics. This first story I'm going to tell is one of my own. It actually happened this week and I just thought that I had to share it. But to set the scene, I was going to my parents' house and we were unloading things from the car, and then I got out and then I felt like my piercing. Mind you, I love this piercing. It's my nose piercing. I love my nose piercing a lot. And it has like, it's like a septum piercing, but for the nostril. And it has like these balls that you screw on. And sometimes one of them will unscrew, but I just like tighten it back up. And mind you, it's very small. As I was walking to the house, it fell, like I felt it fall, and then it hit the ground somewhere. It was like near the sidewalk and I couldn't find it. And I was like so distressed. I know, dramatic, but I was like, oh my goodness, my piercing. And I was looking for it on the sidewalk, looking for it in the grass. And it's like, it's winter time, so everything is brown. Everything is like leaves, sticks, and like it's almost impossible to see, especially for how small it is. And I had my little brother trying to help me and we couldn't find him. Like, it's fine. It's windy. It's cold. Let's just go inside. And every person I encountered, I was telling them, oh my goodness, my piercing, I lost it outside. And they're all like, there's no way you're going to find that. Like, it's over, you know, let it go. And I'm like, okay, fine. And then when it was time for us to leave, I was hopeful. I didn't believe that I would find it, but I was hopeful that it was still there. So I went to look outside and I told my niece, like, hey, come help me look. And the moment that I went out where I lost it, I looked down and it's literally right there. Like, something so simple. And I just immediately, I was like, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That has to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, I looked here and I couldn't find it. And even if I dug through like the dirt, the grass, the whatever, and I found it, I would be in shock. But the fact that it was right there and I didn't even have to look for it, I was just like, Allahu Akbar. And it just showed me, it reminded me of the name Al-Qadir, the capable. Like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable. I think that, unfortunately, sometimes I'm able to go about my day and forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, maybe I'll remember him in the morning. I'll remember him when like a calamity or something. When I need something, I'll remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know? Immediately ask and make dua, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so capable that He can even help us with the little things. Something as little as finding a part of my piercing that I didn't even know that I should have asked for or that I could ask for, because sometimes I think that for smaller things, I have to figure it out on my own, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I shouldn't bother, which is such a crazy thing to say. But sometimes I do feel that way. And in this moment, I think it's just a reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can even do the little things for us. And yeah, it just felt really good. It felt like a little gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was like, oh my goodness. But to move on to better stories than mine, this next story, the last man to enter Jannah in Sahih al-Bukhari, and it is, the hadith is narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Okay, I'm going to start a little bit in the middle of it. Then, after God judges between everyone, a man will remain between the fire and paradise. He will be removed from the fire, but his face will be fixed towards it, so he will cry, please, God, let me face elsewhere. Its heat has dried me and its wind has burnt me. God will say, if you are granted this wish, will you ask for anything else? He will cry, no, I swear by your greatness, I will not. And he will continue to promise and pledge not to ask anything else until his face will be directed away from the fire and towards paradise. He will see its beauty, but remembering his promise, will remain silent. He will stay silent for a long, long time, and eventually, unable to bear any longer, will cry, please, Lord, please bring me forward just to the gate of paradise. God will say, didn't you promise that you wouldn't ask for anything else? The man will cry, but Lord, please don't make me the most miserable of your creation. God will say, if I grant you your wish, then do not ask for anything else. He will cry, I won't, I promise. I swear by your greatness, I will not. And he will continue to promise and pledge not to ask for anything else until he is brought to the gate of paradise. When he reaches it, he will look inside and see its vigor, charm, and pleasure. But, remembering his promise, will remain silent. He will stay silent for a long, long time, then eventually, unable to bear any longer, will cry, "Oh Lord, please, please let me enter paradise." God will say, "You're unbelievable. How treacherous can you get, son of Adam? Didn't you make all of these promises and pledges not to ask for anything else?" But the man will cry, "But Lord, please don't make me the most miserable of your creation." So God, the exalted, will laugh and allow the man to enter paradise. Then God will tell him, "Make a wish." And the man will keep on wishing and wishing and asking for so many things until he can't find anything else to ask for. Then God will help him out and remind him, saying, "How about this? And how about that?" And then, when the man is completely satisfied, God will say, "All your wishes will be granted and doubled." Subhanallah. To continue, but Abu Huraira finished narrating this prophetic saying, Abu Sa'id interjected, "But Abu Huraira, the messenger of God, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, 'All your wishes will be granted and multiplied by 10. Abu Huraira replies, "I only remember that they will be doubled." Abu Sa'id said, "No, no, they will be multiplied by 10. This is, again, in Al-Bukhari's Book of Authentic Prophetic Sayings, Sahih Al-Bukhari, 1806 or 1770, depending on the copy. I absolutely love this story. A friend of mine shared it with me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward and accept from her. She said that this story for her encompasses the name Al-Karim, the most generous. That this story gives her hope, and that it reminds her that fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't just about being scared of him, but being scared of disappointing him. And it shows that she can ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything, and if he wills, he will give it to her. I just absolutely, absolutely love it. And I think that I derived from the story that to just ask, to ask and ask. Even if you believe that you are unworthy or undeserving, ask, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so abundant. He gives and gives abundantly, and you aren't taking anything away from him in his doing so. Despite his promise for not asking more, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always has more to give and continue to give. Subhanallah. Moving on to the next story in order to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better. This next one is a hadith in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Another narration of Muslim is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "When Allah loves a slave, he calls Jibril alayhi salam and says, 'I love so and so, so love him.' And then Jibril loves him. Then Jibril announces in the heavens, saying, 'Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so-and-so, so love him.' And the inhabitants of heavens also love him. And then people on earth love him." Imagine getting the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knowing that because he loves you, he and all of creation loves you as well. Like, subhanAllah, his love is like so big. Like, I think a lot of people love big, and I admire people who love big because they just have like so much love to give, and then multiply that by like infinity. Imagine a love like that. Subhanallah. I just really love that hadith, and it motivates me to earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we all can do in this month. For me, this hadith encompasses the name Al-Wudud, the most loving. I feel that we as humans, although we have the ability to love, it at times can be very conditional, and people fall in and out of love all the time, especially if someone wrongs you, whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us despite our flaws and imperfections and our sins, and is able to love us to that level. It's just subhanAllah. Okay, this next story is a hadith narrated in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Says, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu reported some prisoners were brought to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst whom there was a woman who was running, searching for her child. When she saw a child among the captives, she would take it to her chest and nurse it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, "Do you think this woman would throw her child into the fire?" We said, "No, not if she was able to stop it." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Allah is more merciful to his servants than this mother to her child." I also wanted to share my friend's opinions with the story that she sent me. She said that it's one of her favorite hadiths because it showcases Allah's immense love and mercy. And she feels like it definitely resonates with her more with everything that's happening in the other side of the world, like in Gaza, Syria, Yemen, Congo, and sadly, etc. And the connection that she was able to make with that story, and it reminds me of a mother that I saw in Gaza holding her dead son, and she exclaimed that she took 580 injections just to have this child. You can literally only imagine the love that she had for him. And this hadith tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even more merciful than that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite them in the highest level of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liberate Gaza. May he liberate Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. alayhi wasallam, have mercy on the Ummah and liberate Sudan, liberate Somalia, liberate Yemen, Syria, liberate Bangladesh and all the places that the Ummah is hurting that we are unaware of. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free them and raise their ranks. Allahumma ameen ya rabbal alameen. The next and final story that I want to share is a hadith narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari 3470, narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, amongst the men of Bani Israel, there was a man who had murdered 99 persons. Then he set out asking whether his repentance could be accepted or not. He came upon a monk and asked him if his repentance could be accepted. The monk replied in the negative, and so the man killed him. He kept on asking till a man advised him to go to such and such village. So he left for it, but death overtook him on the way. While dying, he turned his chest towards the village where he had hoped his repentance would be accepted. And so the angels of mercy and the angels of punishment quarreled amongst themselves regarding him. Allah ordered the village towards which he was going to come closer to him, and ordered the village whence he had come to go far away. And then he ordered the angels to measure the distance between his body and the two villages. So he was found to be one span closer to the village he was going to, so he was forgiven. This has to be one of my favorite, if not my favorite story. This narration just shows that we should never despair in the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should and can seek it even if we have wronged ourselves and believe or are made to believe that there's no way out, especially in this month of Ramadan. I think we hear the term a lot. I'm about to go on a tangent. I think we hear the term Ramadan Muslims, and I hate that term so much, because if there's any time to put in effort, there's any time to seek forgiveness, it is this month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful and so forgiving that if you turn to him at any point, but especially in this month, you can be forgiven. I mean, look at the story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally changed the geography of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moved the land so that this man would be forgiven. And you think that you won't? Please have more faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan, Muslim or not, whatever that even means, this is the month to really take advantage of that and to ask for pardon and seek sincere repentance and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful and so forgiving that he changes the earth to forgive one person. There's no telling what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do to forgive you. Hopefully these stories help us draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and closer to knowing who He subhanahu is. I hope that these stories help us reflect on times where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed us what it means for Him to be Al-Kareem, the generous, what it means for Him to be Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the entirely merciful, what it means for Him to be Al-Qadir, the capable, and Al-Wadud, the most loving. And that is all that I have for you until next week, Wednesday, inshallah ta'ala, bi'ithnillah. If I pronounce or say anything wrong or incorrect, it comes from me and shaitan. And if you benefited from it, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you did benefit from it, share this podcast with anyone who you think will also benefit from it.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward my two friends for sharing those two stories with us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our efforts and allow us to see this month through and keep us steadfast. Allahumma ameen ya rabbil alameen.
Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.